Hello, Grace Church. This is Nathan again with our fourth podcast, a podcast where we're seeking to get acquainted with the Heidelberg Catechism. And I hope you are benefiting from this as much as I am. So let's continue our look at question number one. And if you have your Bibles and your catechism out, and if you want to know where to find that catechism, just click on the link there in the podcast email, and then you'll have the whole PDF version in front of you. Okay, question number one asks this. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Answer, that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. So we've looked at the word comfort. We looked at the word only. We've looked at that you are not your own. So now let's get into the why of Jesus is your only comfort. The why of you're not your own. And maybe get some assurance from that. So first thing we should look at is where do you find assurance in this question? And in this answer, I should say. In this, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. So we got to ask, does the catechism say I am comforted by my faith? No, not at all. It says you belong to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. The catechism gets off of the subjective, your faith, onto the objective. Christ is the one who is faithful. It gets to the very obedience of Christ, who was faithful even when we are not, to my faithful Savior, it says, Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do? The catechism answers that He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood. And they get that from 1 Peter 1. Verse 18 and 19, which reads, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. The only Savior to find comfort in is the one who actually died in place of you. He fully paid for all your sins. His death is the only way that the guilt of human sin can be removed and that God the Father's wrath can be satisfied. That's our assurance. That's the ground of our salvation. Jesus' works, not our works. And so I would ask you to find comfort and find assurance in that. The reason for comfort, the reason for not belonging to yourself is the fact that Christ redeemed us with His precious, innocent blood. But to take it a step further, you could ask, well, what was the comfort of those that lived before Jesus? It was the promise that He would come. That was their comfort. Knowing that one day that a Messiah would come and save His people from their sins was the promise that they believed in. Jesus fully paid, the Catechism states, fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood. His death alone is the only satisfaction. Romans 3:21 through 26 tells us that. But more than that, the Catechism goes on to say that Christ has set me free, has gone on to set you free from the tyranny of the devil. At one time, we were enemies against God. We were under the rule of Satan, under his fatherly leadership. And then that sets you apart from God. And now that what through Jesus did, you have been set free from that tyranny. And Paul tells us that Romans 5:10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Satan can no longer accuse us before the heavenly court. He has been cast out of heaven. He has lost us and we now work for another king. In John 8, Jesus tells the Pharisees that their real father is Satan. John 8:44 says, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of all lies." So before God saved you, that could have been said about you, that you were a worker of Satan. Now, you probably didn't know that, or you wouldn't have worded it like that. But now through Christ's work, you are no longer under that tyranny. And also in John 8, Jesus tells us that in verse 36, "So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. And now that is you." So you were under the fatherly leadership of Satan, and now you're under the fatherly leadership of God the Father. And you, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. An assurance of faith from God's Word, you are free from the tyranny of Satan. But there's more. The answer continues to get better. "We belong to Christ, both body and soul. He has fully paid for all of our sins with His precious blood. He set me free from Satan, and now He watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven." You went from being an enemy of God to not even a hair from your head can fall to the ground without God the Father willing it or allowing it. And there's just something comforting about that, that the smallest detail that we would ever not even notice is so noticed by God that He wills it or He doesn't will it. It means that much to Him to either let hair fall from our head or not let hair fall from our head. Any attempt at us being harmed in any way, hair falling from our head or arms falling from our bodies, it's all governed and ran through the will of God. God's Word says in Matthew 10:29-31, "Are not two sparrows sowed for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered." Sparrows, pennies, hair, small, insignificant things, all within God's sovereign purview. His supervision, even over small, insignificant things, should assure us that we, being His children, being bought with a price, should have the assurance of being cared for in all of our life, and even through death. "He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. And now this, in fact, all things must work together for my salvation." And you know where that comes from, right? Romans 8:28. "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." The comfort of the gospel is right there. That God so cares for my soul that all things, good things, bad things, all things work together for my good, your good, to those that are His people. This is comforting to know that in this time of this pandemic, as Steve has said, God brought on this pandemic. God decreed before the foundation of the world that this pandemic would happen. And of course, we don't know why, but God does, and that's all that matters. His wisdom far outweighs our wisdom. So trust that God knows what He's doing, and that in life or in death, in sickness or in health, God is doing a work that is for your good and His glory. Here is a quote by Charles Spurgeon that I would like to end on. He says, "I venture to say that the greatest earthly blessing that God can give to any of us is health, with the exception of sickness. Sickness has frequently been of more use to the saints of God than health has." And so next time, Lord willing, we will finish question number 1. Talk to you later, Grace Church.